Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Congratulations on getting through the work week. My name is Carrington Harrison. It's an honor to be here with you on this beautiful Friday. Earlier today, Rob and I were outside. We were hanging out. We had to like work. It was basically like a field day, honestly, to kind of tell you what it was. They were outside. They were playing nice tunes, and we had a brisket sandwich from Gates that was absolutely delicious. I also had an enchilada as well, and we had a really, really fun day. Hopefully, you had a fun day as well. Hopefully, you're listening on 610 Sports Radio or the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, it is this segment that you control, 913-576-7610. You ask us anything. I also watched my 80s movie for the day. I watched Uncle Buck. I would say that was the most popular movie on the text line. Hey, Carrington, watch Uncle Buck. Watch Uncle Buck. I watched Uncle Buck. I will give you my review of it in the 5 o'clock hour as well. What I would like to start today's show with is the Kansas City Royals. And yesterday, if you missed it, we had, for the entire 4 hours, we did anything but the Royals. We were not going to talk about the Kansas City Royals. Today, we have lifted that ban. We are talking about the Royals. And Vern and I were going back and forth a little bit, and we disagreed just a smidgen, but that's perfectly fine. Most people in baseball, I think, believe these things. I would also say most people in Kansas City believe these things. I think Dayton Moore is a good general manager. In order for you to accomplish what the Royals accomplished in 14 and 15, take someone of great skill. Take someone who is elite at his job. It takes a certain level of planning and building out and foresight to build a roster as deep and complete as the Kansas City Royals were back in 14 and 15 and to accomplish the things that they accomplished. I would say the second thing that most baseball people and Kansas City people would also come to the conclusion with, that the Royals are a good organization. I think the Royals treat people extremely well. You don't really see too many billion-dollar companies, and that's what the Royals are. They just sold. They are a billion-dollar company that treat their employees the way that the Royals treat their employees. I think they are a first-class organization in just about every way when it comes to the people side of it. I think that's something that starts at the top and trickles down. I think Dayton values people and personal relationships better than any person that I've come in contact with the level of power that he does at his job. Like, Dayton virtually runs his job with autonomy, the freedom to sort of do what he wants to do, and treats everybody the same. It doesn't matter if you're a key member in the front office staff or someone who is a ticket taker or works in the parking lot. Dayton, if he comes across, is going to treat you with the utmost respect. That's the kind of person and man that he is. And I got great respect for that. I think most people would also say that the Royals are a well-run organization. I think the Royals front office is very smart. I think they're cutting edge when it comes to a lot of things. I think they saw a break in baseball before other people and realized an inefficiency when it came to the bullpen. Now, how teams handle the bullpen is what the Royals were doing in 2014 and 15, and now teams are finally catching up in 19, 20, and 21. I think they're really well run. I think Dayton has his system and his organization the way that he wants it, with the people that he wants to do it with. I bring all those things up because I think what I really struggle with in my looking at the Royals today and forecasting the future, every organization that we say those things about win at a much higher and much more consistent pace than the Royals do. Think of American sports. Think of the organizations that you think have a good general manager and are well-run organizations. We're talking about the cream of the crop, the elite, the consistent winners, the teams that we trust to make the playoffs year in and year out. Think about the NBA and our perception of the Spurs for such a long period of time and other franchises. Like, I would say right now, a lot of people think that Sam Presti, for example, to give you an example in the NBA, and some of you will follow this, most of you will follow this. Sam Presti, I think, is one of the best general managers in basketball. He's the general manager at Oklahoma City. They are not a team that is going to be at the forefront when it comes to free agents. They're a lot like Kansas City in that regard. They're going to have to build through the draft, great community organization. They've been bad for a couple of years. They're also about to turn things around. They made the playoffs last year because they made a trade to get Chris Paul. They missed the playoffs this year. They just got Kemba Walker, and they have 6 draft picks in this year's NBA draft. The Thunder have a plan. They're going to use this plan, and I think the Thunder are going to be good again very, very soon because I think they have someone really smart at the top running things. I think the Royals have somebody really smart running things. And my frustration is the Royals in 2021, from a on-the-field standpoint and a quality standpoint, don't feel any different than they did in 2011, any different than they did in 2001. In terms of what we're watching on the field, the Royals just got swept for the second time this season to the Detroit Tigers. They're only, what, a game up over the Tigers at this point? The Tigers stink. They're a bad baseball team. They're not a team with really any promise. They've got bad contracts that they're just playing out the string. That's not a team that should be able to compete with the Kansas City Royals. And yet they have multiple times that they've done that. I'm holding the Royals to this standard because before the season started, and we could sit here for the next hour and play cut after cut after cut of all the Royals that told us this year was going to be different, that they felt the buzz and the electricity and how this roster was going to be different. And sure, they've fallen on hard times. Some injuries have happened. The pitching hasn't developed. Baseball stuff has happened. But the Royals have had an 11-game losing streak already, and we're not at the All-Star break. And now they're in the midst of a stretch in which they have won one game in the last 2 weeks. That's not good enough. Sometimes I think when we have these conversations, it's all or nothing. That maybe this, Rob, is the definition of like rings culture in the NBA, where it's like basically if you don't win the championship, you just didn't do anything the whole season. That now it's like, well, if you don't make the playoffs, you didn't do anything. There's numbers between what the Royals did in 2015 and where the Royals are now. I take a nice 78-win season from this team, 79-win season. Sure, you finished under 500, but you were good. You were competitive. You hovered around 500. And I would say with the way the Royals are playing right now and also the teams that they have on the schedule, so you got Boston, the Yankees who are starting to turn things around. You've got Boston again the following week. I mean, you're starting to now play some of the tougher teams and better teams in the American League, and that 7 games under 500 can very easily turn to 12 or 13 under 500 by the All-Star break in a flash. And you want to talk about the dog days of summer, they are eerily approaching it when it comes to their relevance in terms of every day and their ability to stay competitive. In the end, we all want the same thing from the Royals. If I had to think of two people in this city who benefit more from the Royals being good than Rob and I want to meet them. Our show would be great and greatly helped by the Royals being a more competitive baseball team. I want them to be more competitive. I want to be Hope Harrison. But it's tough to deny, despite the amount of money that they've spent in free agency, despite the trades that they have made this season, despite the guys that they have called up from the minor league system, who Baseball America and anybody that touts prospect is high on, the Royals find themselves at virtually the same place that they've always been, struggling to be relevant, struggling to be competitive in the middle of the summer. I was laughing with Sam Mellinger about this. Like, this column that Sam Mellinger just wrote, his last column, he's written that column almost every year he's worked at the Kansas City Star. It's like a rite of passage. At some point, that losing streak is going to happen, and then we'll question sort of the direction of the team and if they can turn things around. Every single summer, I thought that this summer was going to be different. And maybe I'll end up being wrong. They'll win the series against Boston, they'll get hot again, and they'll get themselves back to around 500. But that last losing streak almost took them out. And it took, I would say, a pretty great two-week effort for them to be able to kind of stem the tide a little bit and get back on the right track. Do they have two of those in them with the injuries that they have right now, with the deficiencies that they have on their roster right now? I mean, they're deficient right now at basically every area. Bullpen, starting pitching, offensively, and they haven't been a good defensive team for really any part of the season. So I don't want to be negative Nancy here, or Buzz Killington, whatever you guys call me. I'm just simply asking the question. I think the Royals have a good general manager. I assume many of you think that too. I think the Royals are a good organization. You don't hear many people with bad things to say about the Royals. I think the Royals have a very smart front office staff. Why is that not translating into more consistency on the field? Because every other organization that we say those things and feel that way about, they're better more often than Kansas City is. From baseball to basketball to football, those kinds of organizations are far more consistent than the Royals have been. Coming up in a little bit, I'll give you guys my review of Uncle Buck. But first, let's get to the top storylines in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Well, the top non-Royal story in Kansas City is actually baseball at the national level. I know, it's crazy. But earlier today, Shohei Ohtani announced that he will be participating in the Home Run Derby this year during the All-Star break. Carrington, two-part question. One, how important is this for the sport to have its biggest, a potential big star spotlighted in the Home Run Derby? And two, does this mean that Ohtani will be pushed into superstardom?
He should be. This should be the Shohei Ohtani All-Star Invitational. He should be doing everything they ask him to do. He's in the Home Run Derby. He should hit and pitch in the game. The All-Star Game is one of the few regular season events in which everybody is tuned into. It's different than the NFL. I would say it's different than the NBA. In that way, like the NBA, there's certain markers and it has like certain days on television. And if you're an NBA fan, we sort of flock to that channel. Same way in the NFL, Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. You don't need the Chiefs to watch Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football. Baseball doesn't really have those things inherently. The All-Star Game is. Every team has a player playing in it. There's nothing else going on at that time. Baseball fans will turn on the All-Star Game. This All-Star Game needs to be about showcasing how incredible the young talent is in baseball. I think Shohei is the most exciting of those players. I don't think he's the best. He's the most exciting of those players because of his ability to hit and pitch. But I'm talking about Acuna, Fernando Tatis. There's so many great young stars in the game today, and we're seeing the transition. The same way I will say that we're seeing it in NFL when it comes to quarterback, how the old guard is starting to phase out and the new 25, 26 and under quarterback is starting to make way. The same way we're seeing it in the NBA with how many great stars we have in the league under the age of 25. I think we're seeing that same thing in baseball. This is baseball's time to really showcase one of the more unique players we've ever seen in the game in Shohei Ohtani. It's also show people Fernando Tatis and Ronald Acuna who don't get the opportunity to watch them in a day-in, day-out basis.
Two.
Well, as you mentioned, the Kansas City Royals take the field tonight against the Boston Red Sox in a weekend series, and Adalberto Mondesi is back. Now, he was back Wednesday with a home run and a great defensive play. Carrington, on Wednesday, did you finally see why the organization has put so much trust and faith into the young shortstop?
You know, Rob, cut the beat. I've been telling you guys that. Have I not been saying that, Rob, on this show? Mondesi is super frustrating. I get it. You want to see him more. You want him to play more, be more consistent, play a full 162. Believe me, I get it. I understand. But every time this season we have had the opportunity to watch Adalberto Mondesi suit up for the Kansas City Royals, he has shown you time and time again why he is one of the more special players in their organization. I mean, Wednesday hit a massive home run, made a great play defensively. I would say there's only two players in their organization that can do that. Three, if you want to count Witt, but just, I think it's Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. They have the ability to go out there and hit that home run and then turn around and give you that level of a defensive play. Mondesi's going to keep getting a chance because of his age, because of his contract, and because of his ability. He's not one of the more skilled players in the Royals organization. He's one of the more skilled players in any organization. He's good. It's just the frustration of his inability to stay healthy. But he'll keep getting chance after chance after chance, and he should keep getting chance after chance because he's special and has the chance to be special. And the worst thing now that could happen for the Royals is they get out way too early, like you leave the table too early, and then the dice gets hot. You know how mad you would be if you've been putting money in a slot machine and then you get up from the slot machine, the next person that sits down in the chair hits for your Mega Millions? That's supposed to be your money. All you had to do is put in another dollar and you would have won that money. That's how it feels like this could turn for Adalberto Mondesi. So the Royals are going to keep sitting there at the penny slots and they're going to keep putting money into the machine and hope eventually that it hits. And if he can stay healthy, I think it will hit. He's got to stay healthy.
Three. Well, yesterday we saw the official rules the NFL will have this year for vaccinated versus non-vaccinated players. I will not go through every rule, but basically, it's life is a lot easier for vaccinated players versus unvaccinated players. Carrington,
it's even more simplistic than that. It's whatever you normally used to do in the NFL, you won't be able to normally do it unless you take the vaccine. This is the reason I think the vaccine matters. Is it has a clear effect on sports. Like, I'm not talking about COVID for my own benefit here. The NBA playoffs have been affected by COVID. I would say the most valuable player left in the NBA playoffs cannot play because of COVID. The NFL is requiring you to get to 85% for your team to do normal team activities that you were doing before. Normal team activities. So it is your responsibility as a head coach, and I would say the leader of the team, to do everything in your power to try to get you to 85%. That's really what we're talking about. I understand that people are going to make their own personal decisions. You're an adult. You should be allowed to make your own personal decisions. But part of the decision of being on a team of this magnitude is doing what's necessary to give your team the best possible chance to win. And part of giving your team the best possible chance to win is making sure that you as an organization get to an 85% vaccination rate. That simple. So the NFL has made it very clear that you don't gotta like the rule if you don't want to. Players have openly come out and said they don't like the rule. Cole Beasley came out and said, I don't like this. Who agreed to it? The Players Association agreed to it. The NFL owners agreed to it. They're on the same page. This is what we need to do. Sometimes you got to make sacrifices and tough choices to protect the bag. And being vaccinated, if you're an NFL player, seems like part of the tough decision that needs to be made.
Four.
We got four? On a day like today?
Come on, a day like today?
Well, in this economy?
I know. I'm stunned by it as well.
We have four in this political climate. We have four hits.
I know. I'm as stunned as you are.
That's nuts.
Mandatory mini camp across the NFL is now over and done. And as we trend toward the time of the year where news in the NFL is either terrible news or great news before training camp, my question to you is this, Carrington. If you had to put the AFC teams in different tiers, where would the Chiefs stack up and where does the rest of the league stack up in your AFC tier system?
All right, I'm going to run through this real quick. I have three teams in my no chance to make the playoffs this year. The Jets, the Broncos, and the Texans. Texans have no chance of making the playoffs. They're a waste of everybody's time. They should forfeit all of their games. These are my outside of the playoff bubble. New England, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Miami, Las Vegas, Jacksonville. For all varying degrees. I actually think the Raiders are the definition of an average football team. Like, the definition of an average football team this year. Last year, I think they showed a lot of promise. Now, I'm going to be really curious to see how the Raiders look this season since they just completely overhauled their offensive line and actually thought that was one of their bigger strengths last year was their offensive line. I don't know why they would try to break that thing up, but Mike Mayock and John Gruden do some very questionable things. I think Jacksonville is going to be a lot better this year. Better at quarterback, better skill position players, better head coach. I think that Jacksonville is going to take a step forward. I don't think the step forward is going to be big enough this season. New England's not good enough at quarterback or skill position players. Pittsburgh's quarterback is at its absolute end. I actually really like Cincinnati more than a lot of people do. I like Burrow's competitiveness, but he's also coming off an injury. How much did they improve that offensive line? How good is their defense going to be this year? I have my questions. Now, the more that I look at my playoff teams, Rob, I'm not going to lie to you. It's looking super chalky right now. I'm not going to lie to you. What I did is the equivalent of filling out the NCAA tournament bracket, and I have 3 1-seeds and a 2-seed. Now, I got the best teams in it. But it's super chalky in a way, you know. There's no way that's how it's going to break. So the more and more I'm talking myself into this, I'm talking myself out of it. These are my playoff teams this year in the NFL. As of June 18th, I reserve the right to change these if the roster changes. Tomorrow, if Nick Chubb is out for the season, I have the right to change my pick. These are my teams. Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cleveland, Indianapolis, Tennessee, and my seventh team in the AFC is the Los Angeles Chargers. Rob, do you have any issue with my seven playoff teams? KC, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cleveland, Indy, Tennessee, and the Chargers. I feel bad because I have six of the same playoff teams from last year, and I've only swapped out one, and I do think history tells you you should swap out three as opposed to just swapping out one.
Here's the one issue I have with your list. A, I guess there's two issues because it is chalky, but you're aware of that issue, so I'm not going to waste your time talking about the chalky issue because you know that's not how it works. I have stood here all summer, all offseason, all year. I've stood right here, and I've heard from that chair over there, the Browns are going to regress. Why do people believe in the Browns? The Browns aren't that good. The Browns O-line is great, but I'm not a believer in Baker. I don't understand where all this Browns love is coming from. I don't like the Browns. That's all I've heard out of you for the last 6 months is just down on the Browns. Everyone loves the Browns. You're down on them. So then I sit here and I think to myself, I wonder what CDOT will do with the Browns. You have in the playoffs. You can't be down on a team and then put them in the playoffs. I'm down on the Steelers. They're not making my playoffs. I'm down on the Browns. They're not making my playoffs. So my only issue is, where's the consistency? You're Mr. Anti-Browns. They're the playoffs.
I can't argue what you're saying. I don't hate their roster 2 through 53. Maybe it's wrong for me to say I hate the Browns because I don't hate the Browns. I question the ceiling of the Browns. I think they're a 10-17. I think the Browns go 10-7 and they're the 6 or 7 seed in the playoffs. If that's me being high on them, then sure. But I still think there's enough talent there on the roster. I do think their defense is better. I think they're the best 1-2 punch at running back. They're getting Odell Beckham back, so they're going to have another additional weapon. I think there's enough talent there on the roster to go 10-7. Enough talent to go 10-7. Am I going to pick them to really make noise or be real contenders? No. But I do think there's enough talent there to go 10-7. You are right. I have been tough on the Browns, so I got them making the playoffs. There aren't many teams in the AFC that I feel pretty comfortable to swap in their place. The only two teams I would be real serious at taking a hard look at would be Pittsburgh and New England. Pittsburgh just hasn't been bad for any of our life. And there's still talent on that roster. I think their offensive line is going to be a little bit better than they were last year. They're certainly more equipped at running back. They're getting a lot of guys back defensively that they lost the second half of the season. I'd be willing to entertain Pittsburgh. I'd also be willing to entertain New England. If New England was that 10-7 wildcard team, I wouldn't be stunned if they were the case. Cam gets a full year in the offense to learn it, coming off COVID. They have certainly improved the playmakers on that team. They're much more equipped to score this year than they were last year. Last year's New England team was devoid of any playmakers. And you know what I say? As much as it is a quarterback league, it is a playmaker league. Think of it like 7-on-7. If you can't match up with skill position guys in this league, you don't have a chance at high-level success. There's no good team with high-level team with bad skill position players. This is not the way the game works anymore. It's not like in the 90s where you could have two okay running backs, two okay receivers, but be great defensively and make the playoffs. That's not how the NFL is in 2021. And I think New England has finally addressed that in a way that gives them a chance this upcoming season. Gives them a chance. So I would look at those two teams, Pittsburgh or New England, as two possible playoff teams. But Miami, I got to see it with Tua. The Raiders, no. Jacksonville, no. Jets, no. Houston, no. Broncos, no. I mean, there's only really about 10 teams out of the 16 that I think have a chance to make the playoffs. It's only 10 teams. So I got to pick Cleveland out of the rest of that group. I think Baltimore is going to win the North. I think Cleveland's going to grab one of those wild card spots. And after that, it's really six teams fighting for three spots after that. Coming up on the other side, I'll give you my review of my 80s movie for the day. I watched Uncle Buck. We'll also answer your questions and ask us anything. 913-576-7610. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive. And we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. The last chance for the week. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll answer your questions, 913-576-7610. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Today's code word for 530 is paper, P-A-P-E-R, paper, P-A-P-E-R. Text the word paper, P-A-P-E-R, to 72881. Your national cash contest code word for 530 is paper, is brought to you by BetQL. That is BetQL. Coming up in a little bit, we will answer your questions and ask us anything, 913-576-7610. But, Rob, I have been watching an 80s movie every day that I have never seen before. So I watched Uncle Buck yesterday, and many of you kept suggesting Uncle Buck on the text line. Said that it was good, that it was funny, and that I needed to see it. And then I watched it yesterday, and I don't know if I can take you guys' comedy opinions anymore. Now, I will give you guys this. When it comes to those sci-fi movies in the 80s, you guys have not let me down. I've liked every movie that you guys have thrown out so far. The two movies I haven't liked that you guys have thrown out have been comedies. Now, I understand that comedy changes and humor changes, and you have to be in the moment to really laugh and appreciate the humor of the joke. But funny is still funny. Caddyshack is still funny today. Major League is still funny today. White Men Can't Jump in the early 90s, still a funny movie to me. I didn't really see the humor in this movie, Rob. I didn't really see it today. So I woke up, I watched it, it was early. I watched the movie, as I've watched all these movies, and I started taking notes. Number one, this movie shouldn't even have been called Uncle Buck. It should have been called Angsty Teenager. Rob, I mean this in all seriousness. Of all the characters in the movie that you've given me so far, she's my least favorite. I would say right now, of all the characters, she was number one, and I wouldn't even put Biff from Back to the Future as my number two. I would put the army general guy in Short Circuit. I hated that guy. Like, that guy just, he was terrible. I didn't like him.
More than Goose's co-pilot?
Yeah,
Iceman's co-pilot, excuse me.
Yeah, I just thought that guy was goofy. I just thought he was a clown. I didn't like him. But this girl was just angsty. Like, I would have never... Nope. Who can talk to their parents this way? So her mom comes and says, hey, we need to go out of town because your grandfather had a heart attack. And then she looked at her mom and said, well, if everybody that I knew moved away, I might have a heart attack too. And then slammed the door. It would have been World War III up in the crib. That never would have flew. Now, I will say this about the movie. I do get what the movie was trying to accomplish. I think the movie accomplished it very well. Like, I understood the message and the moral of the movie, and I thought it was a pretty admirable message. I just didn't think the jokes landed to me. One of the jokes that didn't land to me, Rob, was the whole bowling scene. So Uncle Buck takes him bowling, and Macaulay Culkin and his sister, whatever her name was, they're out bowling having a great time, right? And then this grown man comes up to this 15-year-old girl. And I'm like, is this the part that I'm supposed to be laughing? Like, this isn't funny to me. It was weird to me that this happened. Another scene in the movie that I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be laughing or not. Her boyfriend, Bug, who was a complete weirdo and a loser, by the way. But I will say, with her attitude, I was like, you know what? Your boyfriend would wear a goofy hat like this guy. What's a goofy hat? Anybody that wears those kind of hats as a teenager is goofy. 100% goofy. So then when he's trying to sexually assault that young lady, let's just call what was happening in the movie. She was like clearly saying no, and he's like, no, it's okay. That's wrong. then Uncle Buck comes in with the, what's that, drill bit? Is that what kind of, you know, I don't know. I'm not handy at all. Comes in with the drill bit and then busts down the door. I'm supposed to laugh at that part? His car backfiring, which I ain't gonna lie, the first time was kind of funny. I'm not gonna lie, it was kind of funny. They just kept doing that scene 6 or 7 times. That was supposed to be funny. I wasn't laughing. They kidnapped a young man, Rob. They kidnapped a young boy. I didn't like Bug either. I don't think he should have been hauled out of there, tied up, and locked in somebody's basement in their trunk. That doesn't seem like the way to handle that situation. So, Rob, I got to give Uncle Buck a 6. I do think it was a feel-good movie. I'm not even saying that it was bad. I don't think it was bad. I didn't like Vacation. It's not that I didn't like this movie. I just didn't find this movie funny. So that's why I got to give it a 6. Way different than Vacation.
I think you're a little harsh here on Uncle Buck. Because maybe you went in with the wrong mindset. I was always in the impression when I saw Uncle Buck is the following. It's a feel-good movie with a comedy backdrop, but first and foremost, a feel-good movie. If you went in thinking, I'm going to have big comedy, you're not going to enjoy it. So I think your mindset was wrong. To your points about the stuff that was funny, all the scenes you're describing are why you like Uncle Buck. The girl goes out of her way to be mean and hate Uncle Buck, and he just keeps trucking along to find that love. He defends her from Bug. He breaks into her room and's like, this guy's no good. He then takes Bug and's like, I'll prove to he's no good. And then fires golf balls at the man because he knows, hey, I got my niece's best interests at heart at all times, despite how she feels about me. And at the end, when she comes around Uncle Buck, you don't feel good in that moment?
I'm with you. And that's why I said I get what the movie was trying to do. Like, I got that part. And like, the end, how I thought the movie wrapped up, how he protected her and they bonded and it was, are you going to tell my mom? And he was like, no. And like that part was cool. I agree with you. That part was cool. I just couldn't get over the fact of this wasn't realistic. Rob, could you talk to your mom the way that she was talking to her mom in that movie?
I mean, not and continue to live at home.
No, I couldn't talk to my mom now. I'm 30. My mom would beat me up today if I did that kind of stuff. That's why I just didn't like that little girl. I just didn't like her.
I couldn't make those comments like in jest and joking. They would go over like a lead balloon in the house.
Yeah, no, I just couldn't. I just couldn't do it.
So what do you got on deck for this weekend with the movies? I know you agreed because Scott Parks, who we all agree don't listen to his show, said you need to watch Platoon. You said you'd come back with another movie from our list, but you're going to have Platoon as an addition. What are you going with on top of Platoon?
I am going to watch Platoon. I have that in the thing. I'm going to watch Platoon. I will also... I'm actually really ready to start Indiana Jones.
Okay.
I'm ready to watch Indiana Jones. I've already watched one Spielberg movie, and I liked it. I'm ready to watch this other series. I'm watching Indiana Jones this weekend.
Which one are you going to watch? Because I think Last Crusade is the best one.
How can I not watch
Temple
the first
of Doom
one?
Is no good. Don't watch Temple of Doom.
I can't watch the first one?
I think Temple of Doom is the second one. Don't watch Temple of Doom.
Because you're telling me there's a trilogy and you don't want me to start with the first one?
I'm double checking what the first one is.
I would never tell you to watch Rush Hour 2 without watching Rush Hour 1.
Absolutely watch the first one. The first one is Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's very, very good. Skip Temple of Doom. It stinks. Not worth your time. And then if you like Raiders of the Lost Ark, come back and watch Last Crusade. That's a really good Indiana Jones movie, too. But don't think to yourself you have to watch all three because Temple of Doom stinks.
Okay, I will watch these two movies. I can do that. I'll figure out a way to squeeze these in between the NBA playoffs. It's a lot of NBA playoffs right now. You know that. A lot of
big
NBA
week
playoffs.
In the association.
We got 3 great days in the league. Tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, 3 great days in the league ahead of us. But I've been watching these movies in the morning, though. Like, that's kind of been, like, my routine. Around 8:30, 9, I just watch a movie and then come to work. So I can do that. I can do this. I feel good about this. I've actually really enjoyed doing this. It's opened up my palate. I feel much more in the know than I did before I started this journey. We might keep this going until the All-Star break. Who knows? Who knows what we might keep doing? I enjoy watching these 80s movies. There's a lot I haven't seen.
I feel like every time we do this exercise, the text line fills up with movies that didn't make the list.
Yeah.
And they yell at you. Like, Weird Science probably needs to make the list.
Yeah. I watch these too. That's perfectly fine. I got no issues watching these movies. I've really enjoyed it. I'm giving Uncle Buck a 6, though.
That's harsh.
I'm giving Uncle Buck a 6. It just wasn't funny anymore. Maybe back in 80, whenever it came out, I would have given it a good score because the jokes would have hit. Just didn't hit anymore. That happens. It's all in the game. It's fine. Coming up on the other side, we'll give you a chance to get your questions answered. 913-576-7610 is the segment that you control. Ask us anything right here on The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I have a question.
Yes.
In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can. Okay, I'll do it.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
Rob, why did you not tell me about this Cole Beasley announcement that he made? I just saw it now. I won't spend too much time on it because it's the end of the show, and I like keeping the end of the show on Friday a little bit more lighthearted. And we talked about COVID and the vaccine earlier today, but there has been some controversy about whether or not we should ask athletes their stance when it comes to the vaccine. I think it matters because it has an effect on the actual game, so I think it's inbounds. Like, I wouldn't be asking you things that have nothing to do with the game. Your vaccination has something to do with your ability to play. So I think it's a fair question in inbounds. I respect people's decision on whether you choose to be vaccinated or not. Like, Cole Beasley has the right or the choice to say, I don't want to be vaccinated. But one thing, Rob, that frustrates me in this is, very few of these people, at least in professional sports, can really explain the why. Like, I know why I got vaccinated. I can explain why I got vaccinated. If you don't want to be in your Cole Beasley and you're going to then release a statement about it, at least in the statement, tell me why you don't think it's a good choice. Like, I don't feel like that's asking a whole lot. Like, I just read his entire thing, and you can check it out. It's on his Twitter page. He has a 2-page explanation, but then doesn't explain why he's not being vaccinated. He's basically like, I'll take my chances. That's your strategy? That's stupid. Maybe it's just it's his choice. You should respect it, but I know why I got vaccinated. Some of you have legitimate reasons on why you don't want to be vaccinated. Like, one gentleman was like, we don't know the long-term health risk, so I'll wait until we get more data and more information. That's an answer I can respect. I can disagree, but that's an answer that I respect. Cole Beasley's answer is, well, I'll take my chances. Okay. All right. Like, this is stupid. Doesn't make any sense. He literally in this thing, listen to this. I may die of COVID, but I'd rather die actually living. I've been vaccinated. I'm living. Rob, you've been vaccinated, right?
I am vaccinated.
You're living? What is he talking about? Let's go to the text line. 913-576-7610.
You did that to yourself. You checked it.
No, I did. I did. I'm not going to lie to you. I did. Is Park Park coming on for Retro Week? Yes. I don't think he's not on during our time slot, though. He's on from like 10 to 11. I've had to like sneeze all day and it gets like stuck.
There you go.
It's been
finally.
Like, normally I could like, sometimes you're doing stuff so I can't like motion to you to get you to like talk for the time I have to sneeze. It's very, very uncomfortable.
I'm sorry, buddy.
CDOT, Man on Fire is a movie you need to see. What? Are you guys not understanding the rules of this? What? When did Man on Fire come out? 05? This isn't just any movie I've never seen before. I've actually seen Man on Fire.
Came out in 04.
This is 80s movies. What are you talking about? Would you be a guest on my podcast? Yeah, send me the information. Here, I'll email you. I'll happily come on your podcast. Well, I got to see what the podcast is about.
You blindly agreed there.
Let me see what the podcast is about first. I'll come on your podcast, though. If it's about something I'm interested in, I'm happy to go on there. One of my friends asked me to go on their WNBA podcast, and I'm like, I don't watch the WNBA. Why would I come on here? Like, I support your podcast. I'll tweet it for you, but I don't watch it. I don't have any interest in going on there. What's one business that you think Kansas City is lacking or missing and really needs? That is a really, really good question. That's a really good question, actually.
I mean, there's some things I wish Kansas City had that just they're never going to happen. Like, I wish they had a beach, but it's never going to happen.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. Honestly, I'd probably pick for the downtown area to be a lot more of an attraction than it is right now. I'm one of those people.
Is that a new thing, though? That seems like an existing thing you want to improve. That's different than the question, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say one business that Kansas City is lacking, missing, and really needs.
A downtown.
It's definitely lacking, missing, and really needs all of those things. I'm one of the people that I am the ultimate tourist. Like, cities build things for people like me. I go to a city, I find out what the 5 to 6 coolest things are, and I'm going to do them. I don't care where it is. I'm going to do it. Like, when I went to, I'm the person that goes to LA and wants to go see the Hollywood sign. I'm that person. Our downtown should be that same thing. It should be a you come in from out of town, and the same way that you, like, want to go to Beale, like, you know Beale's a thing. And I understand it's not going to be Beale Street, but there's no reason our downtown couldn't be like Nashville. There's no reason why it shouldn't be. People travel from around the country to go to Nashville to hang out, to party, to have a good time. That's how Kansas City should be, in my opinion. Text line 913-576-7610. Have you seen The Jerk? No.
The Jerk is really good. I believe it's a 70s movie.
I may have heard of it. Who's in it?
Steve Martin.
Okay, I've heard of the movie before.
79, so not in the game.
I've heard of it. Someone said public transit from the suburbs. That doesn't have any effect on my life. So, I mean, I wouldn't hate it if they have it, but that has no effect on my life whatsoever. I like this one. This one's so funny. Hey, C-Dot, trust me, you'll love Man on Fire. It has Denzel Washington. It's good. Thanks. Thanks. The text line's funny, man.
I do love one of the texts right now. Man on Fire sucks. Okay. We're not watching Man on Fire.
Man on Fire was a good movie.
I don't think it sucks. It's not my favorite Denzel movie, but text line can't get on the board with what an 80s movie is.
Yo, you should watch Man on Fire. What are you talking about?
If you're looking for hot 80s movies, I got you. You ready? John Q.
Hospital under new management. I love John Q. I really do love John Q. We'll be back again on Monday. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.